Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Gamerland podcast. I'm your host, Justin Warsham. With me, as always, is the one, the only, the KevinMiller.com. Jump and press the circle button, Kevin.
I thank you very much, Justin, and welcome to Gamerland.
Welcome to Gamerland. Now, there's a lot of listeners that are going,
what's Gamerland?
Yeah.
What's happening?
What the hell just happened to my podcast?
Is this a weird practical joke?
Because it's not April Fool's, but these guys are known for being late for everything.
First-latiest podcast.
So don't get your nerd panties in a bunch, if that's PC to say.
Don't throw your nerd rage on our bowl of mayonnaise.
Right. Because here's the thing, we're gonna explain all this right now, and then we're gonna get into it. Kevin and I have been talking offline about what we want to do with the show, how we want to improve it. Some of it you've even heard online, where we talk about how we want to get more developers and people within the gaming industry because we think that would be a fun niche for this podcast. And in order to do that, and in order to appeal to a larger audience, since the original name, the Second Funniest Podcast, was named when it was a comedy podcast, and now it's a video game podcast, we've changed the name. And we're
what is it?
I mean, Gamerland podcast.
Oh, that's, you said that.
Yeah.
That makes more sense.
I apologize. But we're going to continue going. It's going to be a new hour, 1 hour, once a week. We're going to stick to that because the, to be honest, the twice a week didn't really affect the downloads. Don't even know how that makes sense.
Yep.
So screw that noise.
It's
and,
too much work.
So yeah, we're going to work really hard. Our direction, and correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin, what we both wanted to do is we wanted to find a way to get more and more developers on here. We've been trying. It's been hard. So just bear with us while working on it. I think you're going to enjoy the content whenever we do have these people from the industry on. And we're also hoping this name change will help.
Right. That's kind of the biggest thing is that the Second Funniest Podcast doesn't tell you what this show is about. And when we sit alongside other shows that are about video games, it doesn't make, like, why do I care about the Second Funniest Podcast? So while we know we have very loyal SFP listeners, and I think we will always be the Second Funniest Podcast, we just have to change the name so that more people will understand how great it is. Because quite frankly, we're dying on the vine here. We've done this show with this name for 2 years.
Right.
And
that's our average. We change the name of this podcast like I move.
Every 2 years. And, you know, as much as you, if you're listening to this and you feel like, well, you know, you're going to lose the magic of Second Funniest Podcast, I think it's going to be better.
Yes.
Because this gives us the opportunity to find more people that will listen to the show, and more listeners means more shows.
Yes.
Because here's the thing, in the, how many years have we been doing this show? 5 years now?
Yeah.
We have just spent tonight.
Am I right? Did we start 2010 or was it?
No, it
no,
was, like
it was 2008.
Yeah,
because Jacob was just born.
Yeah,
holy
like
crap!
Years.
It has been 5 years.
I know.
Years.
That's what I'm saying. It
snuck up on us.
So we're in episode 50 whatever. So,
yeah, you're right.
We're
5 years. Remember that time we forgot our own format for numbering?
Math
episodes.
Is hard.
Yeah.
So
by the way, we're not starting that number over, right?
No. Yeah, we'll keep doing that.
Yeah, because
we didn't roll over from JK.
Yeah.
In the 5 years we've done the show tonight, before recording this episode, we've spent more time in planning than when we first started.
Yeah.
Literally, I walked in the door, if you can get back to the very first JK show episode, and we sat down, and we were toying around with it, and he hit record, and I went, sexy. And then he played something, and then we just accidentally started.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's kind of been the pace for the entire time we've been doing this. So tonight we sat down and thought, what would it, in fact, even when we shifted over to games, it was by accident.
Yep.
In the middle of an episode, we just became a gamer podcast.
Somebody randomly Googled your name because they knew they were making a Sly game, and then they said, you should have the Sly cast on. And when we said, yes, we will do that, all of a sudden, our numbers just went
triple. Yeah. And I talked about Hawaii and the history of Cook finding Hawaii.
Yeah.
And then we talked about Sly Cooper.
The next day.
In that same, like the first half hour was Hawaii and then Sly Cooper. And people were like, it's weird to hear Sly talk about sex. Read the history of Hawaii or go back to that episode if you want more. So really, our hope is, you know, something else to keep in mind, if you do have lumps of nerd rage, we're pretty immune to it because we do this for free.
Yeah.
You get this for free. This is a hobby that Justin and I really enjoy, and I have been super blessed over the years to meet all the new friends and to make some connections with fans, not only of Sly, but just cool people that are like-minded, and really we want to keep that party rolling.
And here's what I think. I think that rather than looking at the, like what you just said, that the Second Funniest Podcast really isn't going anywhere. All that's really going to change as far as the content goes of the show is it's going to be a little more organized.
That's it.
That's it. That's it. So otherwise, it's still going to be us, you know, shooting the breeze about whatever we're playing, whatever's going on, and all that stuff. All of that, everything you love about the Second Funnies podcast is not going anywhere, because really, it's just me and Kevin. That's all. Just so you know, you've fallen in love with us.
That's true. That's what happened.
And what's even cooler is that from this day, from every day before this, when you are hearing this right now, you were the one who listened to the Second Funniest Podcast before it became the Gamerland podcast and blew up to be the success. You get to be that underground person that used to read the black and white Ninja Turtle comics. That's what you get to be.
Name a creator
Of the Ninja Turtle comics. Mm-hmm. Couldn't do that.
Oh, you were so
unless
close.
You were Dick Wolf. No. Cartoons.
No, close.
I found that's what I'm saying is that I'm not that person.
Yeah, right. It's on the episodes. It says created by.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Or based on characters created by.
I just knew I think it was like the executive producer was Dick Wolf or something like that.
I don't even think they're involved in the new version. Wait, we're getting off topic.
I know, right?
Is this the JK
show? It's already happened.
So, and the other thing that's exciting is that because we'll be organized, there will be segments, which is something we've resisted forever, but we realize that it's what makes radio successful.
Of course.
And really, the hope is this will draw more people in that are in the industry because it makes the show look a little more professional.
That's the big one.
And that's ultimately what we really want and what I think you want as well is to hear from people that make the games. And that's what we're excited to do. So all these changes aren't just because we're jerks or because we didn't pay attention or it's actually a lot of work.
Yeah.
Justin just dropped a bunch of money registering a new URL.
Yep.
I'm developing a new logo.
Yep.
We just made a new logo and I'm making a new logo. So there, I mean, again, this is a hobby and we're glad that you listen to it. And we now welcome you to Gamerland.
Yeah, and I think, here's what I think too. I think that we're dealing with a lot of most of our listeners aren't going to care. They're going to be like, yeah, whatever, guys. Why you keep talking about this? And it's probably like an overreaction that we're
Are you writing an email while you do this?
No. Well, I don't want the show to be completely different.
I'm going to go back to designing the logo. Looking pretty good.
Let's see. I just want to see. Oh, boy. That's going to be another conversation for a post-production meeting. But anyway.
Can't wait for that ominous statement. Do you already delete this? We are recording. Okay.
Here's what I'm saying. Everything we just discussed is now null and void. It was awful. No, I'm kidding. Totally kidding. But yeah.
Oh, also, if you are listening to this because you think we're Spanish language speaking, we're not.
Yeah.
So
so move on from that.
Yeah.
Because that's
and
not
if you don't
happen.
Know what that meant.
No
Google.
Habla español.
Yeah. Google
should have done that in minute one.
That's
but whatever.
Every episode.
But yeah.
No habla español.
Real quick, we're gonna have a quick production meeting on air. Are you all right with Gamerland Pod as the Twitter name? Didn't think to secure that in our pre-production.
Oh, was Gamerland Podcast? The Twitter name already taken?
No, Gamerland Podcast is all we can have, which sounds very Espanolish. So I thought Gamerland Pod. Was a nice
I don't
compromise.
Understand what's too long
podcast is I cannot just like we had to be second funniest
oh yeah
Gamerland
yeah, yeah.
podcast
and Gamerland is taken
but Gamerland Pod is not.
How about Gamerland listen is too long, huh?
Yeah, I could try it.
Maybe we should have paused. Yeah. 3, 2
what's happening And we're back.
Okay,
so,
that was another production meeting. Now we now have a Facebook and a Twitter page. We are social media cray cray.
Boom! So you could go to facebook.com/GamerlandPodcast and throw all of your likes there. And once we get everybody transferred over from the Second Funnies podcast.
I think it's actually Gamerland-podcast because I put a space there.
I
might need to change that.
All right.
I'll figure that out.
Try both. And whichever one is working by the time you hear this,
as long
we
as
appreciate
we don't
your patience.
As long as we don't have 200 likes, you can edit the name.
You could,
so
if you're like,
don't like it 200 times.
Yeah. Please don't. You know what? Well, let's wait a month then. Let's wait a month before you start throwing the likes. We'll talk to you through the Second Funnies podcast.
I think
Facebook
I can.
Page.
I think you can change the URL. The URL is different from the name because I think the name should look like that.
All right,
I like
it
all one word.
If you want to get updates on that, you can also follow us on Twitter at GamerPod. So we
Gamerland Pod.
Gamerland Pod. Also
not to be confused with Gamerland party.
Yeah.
Gamerland Pod.
We should have really thought about all this. We're going to have to go back to square one.
We've spent more time deciding this name than we decided any other name.
Any of the others.
We debated in my garage.
All of the names were, I came up with, I think, or you came up with the first name.
JK Show.
And then you said, no, I don't like that name. And I go, nope, that's the name. And then I think I came up, we came up through via email. Like one email went back and forth. This is, okay, great, that's the name. Perfect.
Yeah, we had Radio Playground was the one. Second funniest podcast.
Yeah.
But SFP
and I wanted
funny.
The funniest because it said the word funny in it.
And then we stopped being funny.
Yeah.
Second gamery-ist podcast.
That's a missed opportunity.
We can change it. Clearly.
Re-record an episode. How great would it be to go back to the last 10 minutes and go, we're now the second gamierist.
2 years worth of that. Well, I think everybody's up on board.
Yep.
This is exciting. Most importantly, it's an hour long, so you don't have to wait till Friday to hear the second part of our conversation.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome for that.
On to the first segment.
What?
We'll create bumpers for this, but right now, here's the bumper.
Entertainment.
My name is Sam.
Center. That's pretty good.
That was good. Good. We might just use that one on.
Pretty good. So what's happened in the entertainment center?
This is where we're going to talk about whatever Kevin and I are currently playing. So my end of the entertainment center.
Or whatever we're doing.
My shelf.
This is where we talk about what's on our Facebook.
What's entertaining
to us.
Yeah.
It could be what's on NBC.
Yeah.
Which is typically what
these are our status updates? Is that what you're saying?
Pretty much.
Oh, our tweets?
Yeah. Our gamer tweets.
Can you imagine that somebody listening to this in 2087 is going to listen to these guys that did status updates and tweets instead of having real conversations.
Oh, listen to this podcast. Now I just click a button on my wall and they appear in my head.
How pompous is it watching these people wave at their televisions, by the way? I don't like it. I don't like the touch the thing because it looks very mechanical when they do it on the advertisement still, and it looks clunky to me.
You're talking about like the Kinect?
No, I think it's the glass or whatever, the Google Glass,
TV
that you could control with your body.
Yeah.
You know, and kind of the Kinect, but the Kinect I get. Like, that's supposed to be interactive. Here's the thing.
Oh, dear.
We're in the entertainment center, baby.
Anything goes.
Is that my thing is that you. Oh, yeah. But yeah. Sorry, I just remembered I have to change the 28-minute timer, so we might hear a dinging in the middle of this if I forget
it. Oh, yeah, because we paused it, too, so this is great.
So anyway, the. I just think it's that clunky technology that it's like it's always the worst part of being in that first step. You know this. You're the early adopter.
I am the early adopter.
But let's get back.
Early adopter.
Point.
That could have been the name of the show.
Son of a.
What are you playing?
Buckle up for that bit for the next I don't know six
year.
Months to a year. I just picked up because I finished the God of War Chains of Olympus on which is an old PSP game on my Vita. And I went and got Mega Man X, which is a Japanese port.
You got Mega Man 2, I believe.
Probably. Yeah. I couldn't tell because of the Japanese hieroglyphics. I don't know why I thought that was a good idea. I thought...
Half the fun is the really campy, cheesy story.
Yeah. And being able to know what buttons you're pressing.
That's the other half of the fun.
Half the story, the other half. So I anti-G.I. Joe'd this thing. I did not know half the battle or the full battle. Knew none of the battle, literally. And so bailed on that. That was a $6 that I just sent. That $6 I just mailed to Japan for nothing.
That was $6?
Yeah.
You're a chump.
I know. And
you just got money coming out of your ears. This is the guy that's like, his son's like, I want to buy ships for Angry Birds. And you're like, yeah, get it for him. Your wife hits the send button. She goes, that was $10? What is he buying ships for $10? They're good for him.
I don't know. Who cares about
She's
$10?
She's like, he could have had a game.
He's a good kid, except for today. But that's another podcast.
G.I. Loser.
Yeah, that's great. That's really funny. That's funny stuff to me. And it's relevant now because they make movies instead of just cartoons about
it. I have a stack of their comic books in the other room. You saw him walk in the room with those, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can read those.
G.I. Joe's versus Transformers, if I'm not. Hasbro versus Hasbro.
Yeah.
No, nobody paid out for licensing on that.
Yeah, that crossover needs to happen, just like the Avengers.
That's the only crossover to happen across a hallway.
I'm sure it was still a big deal.
But
I mean, the film, when Wouldn't that be great if there was a G.I. Joe Transformers movie?
I feel like there kind of is with Josh Duhamel in there. Like he's kind of a G.I. Joe kind of person.
I think they should do Fantastic Four meets the Avengers because one dude is both those guys. Captain America looks a lot like the Human Torch.
Hey, wait a minute. So anyway, the other games that I purchased were Abe's Odyssey, or Oddworld, Abe's Odyssey. Yeah.
Which was the fourth installment in
first.
That. No, in that series, Abe's Odyssey was not the first. I'm micro-positive.
I gotta look that up, because I think...
I'll look that up. You keep
I don't remember that there was four games. I just remember two. So
I will find the answer.
Yeah, you find the answer while everybody is yelling at their earbuds right now.
I'm Batman.
Find the answer, Batman. You're the greatest detective in the world.
I will use the internet. Science.
I wonder if that took away some of his credibility as the greatest detective in the world. It's like the internet came up. He's like, damn it.
Well, now, like in the new 52, he has the portable bat cave. It's a little contact lens. So because it's like,
I did see that. I read this to my son.
He goes to a cave to do stuff that you could do on your phone. So now he's like
in his own eyeball.
Yeah, exactly. Now he moves it to his own eyeball.
But anyway, so I picked up Oddworld, Abe's Odyssey. And again, because it starts. That's how the opening is the explanation of the story, Batman. And so anyway, for those of you that don't know or aren't old enough to have played this game back when it was a PlayStation
or cool enough,
game, it was incredibly difficult. And it was just a lot of. It was back in a time when games like this would have like a guess and check mentality, where you're like, ooh, there's no explanation to the strategy. Virtually no hints or clues, and you just kind of fuddle your way through it. And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, you're halfway through the game, and you're like, "Now I know how to play it." And then it's still getting harder. So what I did is I'm like, you know what? I know this game pissed me off when I was a kid, but I'm an adult. Maybe things are different now. And I bought it in the PlayStation Market or Network or whatever, and instantly was like, "Oh no, what have I done?" And then realized that my first assumption was true. I've had a really good time. I'm only in like the third level of this game, and I've had a lot of like moments. But what I found is different is that when you took a 12-year-old or so, Justin, what year did that Abe's World?
1997, sir.
Are you serious?
1997 was
the first game?
When it was released on the PlayStation.
I was a very impatient 18-year-old then. Yeah. I don't know why I bought that game and hated it. Oh, that's right, because it was the PlayStation. Why am I? Yeah. There's no way.
The graphics were incredible.
So anyway, I remember going, this is a stupid game then when I was an adult. But now that I'm playing it as a adult.
You were barely adult. You were legally adult, but you have the mind of a child.
I still thought smoking was cool. And
I remember my brother telling me that Abe's Odyssey was a spinoff or like the next chapter of something, like whoever the other character, Squee or something.
There's two games, and then I think there was a spinoff of that game. Then that's the great thing about listening to this show is that you as the listener are a much better expert than
us. Batman.
And because there was Abe's Exodus, which is the sequel to that. And I remember being a double sucker because I'm like, well, maybe now in the sequel they figure it out. And what my dumb brain didn't think of is that, no, when they made a sequel, what they did was they gave people more of what they wanted. There's a reason why they made the sequel, and it's because people enjoyed it. But the long story short, I've really, really thoroughly enjoyed playing this game. Because there is nothing at stake. What I realize is that it is just a game, and I know that sounds like common sense, but gamers understand. Like, you can get really engulfed in it and kind of freaked out. And then, real quick, the other thing I'm playing, as I've discussed on previous episodes, is I'm playing Mass Effect 3.
Yep.
I recently had a moment where the game crashed on me, and I couldn't finish a mission. Like, it's kind of buggy a little bit. Mm. And if you play on PC, I've learned through YouTube videos that there's things that you could buy to go back and fix the bugs on your own.
Like
or not
mods?
Buy, but you could download.
The
no,
mods.
They're not mods. It's there's a way
are
that,
they mods? But you love it when people do that, when they're like, when they ask the same thing, you're like,
no, that's not it.
Is it it's mods.
No.
Is it mods?
I don't.
Mods.
Again, I.
Doms?
Are you saying
backwards,
mod?
Backwards
as in
doms?
Like the show mod?
No, mods.
With B. Like, Arthur?
Like mods, like modifications, like Modern Warfare. Like
there were no
Mickey and Mod.
User-generated, customizable go-karts involved in Mass Effect 3.
Micro online dysfunctionaries?
That's it.
Multiple original documents?
No.
Misplaced Opicular dioxide.
It's one or number three. It's either one of those two. I've really bailed on number two. But so I was playing through the game.
Mixing ostrich droppings. Done. I'm done.
Could be that
I'm
one.
Done.
Could be that one. Because I feel like if I did that, that would create a bug in my game. Even if I did it like a witch, mixing it in a cauldron. Yeah, you know what I mean? What would you mix it with? You're just mixing it with itself, I guess.
Yeah, pretty, like in a big pot.
Yeah. way too seriously. So I played through and I accidentally fell in love with the Yara, the Asari chick on my ship. And she's a blue chick. So I'm getting all, you know, Bill Shatner on this lady. I'm going for some alien bop chicka wow.
Which one are you playing? Three?
I'm playing Mass Effect 3. And
she's from the first game. I remember
yeah, she's a Shadow Broker. Spoiler alert.
Rescuing her.
Oh, okay. what button combination did you get to where you got to wreck that?
Couldn't read the script.
Because here's the thing. I'll be honest. Liara, she's easy on the eyes. I mean, if you're into blue skin, you know, if that's a thing.
Who wouldn't be?
I like the idea that her hair is almost like tentacles and it always stays that way. So that you never have to worry about buying a chick a haircut.
From Star Wars.
Yeah.
That's what my character is on Knights of the Old Republic.
Oh, really? A Treelat?
Yeah, Treelat.
A Star Trek character.
Star Wars.
Oh, Star Wars character on a Star Wars game. Yeah. Okay. For some reason, I thought you said Star
Trek.
Who
do you think you are talking to?
That's the proper way to end it. Well, that's why I thought. I'm like, how great would it be that a Star Trek fan brings a Star Trek character into, like, I thought you could make it into
a
person.
I could do it, yeah. I'd make a Romulan. Yeah.
So anyway... Oh, God, that's a crossover. Screw this. I'm bailing on this Transformers.
Yeah, J.J. Abrams. J.J. Abrams.
J.J. Abrams is going to bring them together in movie number 9 and just flip the bird to all the nerds.
I had years, like 10 years ago, I had worked on a digital comic that back when they were cool, of the Borg assimilating the Death Star. And
wow. I like where your mind's going.
I got about 6 panels in, and I was like, digital comics are hard. I probably could bang it out now.
Yeah.
But as always, I had way too, like, it was going to be like a 6-part story and everything. But
show's not over. Show's not over, guys.
I wanted the Metachlorians.
Another bonus to the new format.
I wanted the Metachlorians to fight the nanites that the Borg stick inside Anakin Skywalker's body.
Oh, boy.
Had it all worked out, buddy.
Man, that's intense.
And there was going to be a Borg Chewbacca and a Borg R2-D2.
Who is the Star Trek equivalent? And then we'll get back to the Entertainment Center. Who is the Star Trek equivalent to Jar Jar Binks is question one. Question two, why have we never discussed that on the show?
Oh, gosh, that's great. Let's bookshelf that in the Entertainment Center,
because
I would love to come back to that one.
That's a good one.
Maybe that's another sandbox question for later.
Yeah, these are all segment guys that you guys don't know. Anyway, so...
We have 5 segments. Guess what they are. Go.
I accidentally fell in love with Liara, just trying to tell her I thought she was nice.
Yeah.
And then next thing I know, I'm making out and having some, you know, I'm swapping fluids with a foreign source of DNA, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. All and within the game, right?
And I'm not into, within the game.
Okay.
a little bit out of it. A little bit out of it, I'll be honest.
This was a call center that you found.
I'm like, you know what? I'm into, and here's the other thing, too. This is what sucks about being Justin, is that I don't remember everything. Like,
yeah, I've noticed.
So the brunette chick, who's Ashley, there's Miranda. Now, Miranda's the one in 2 that I fell in love with on my game.
Yep.
And those of you who've played the series know that you get to carry over your decisions into game number 3. And you carry over your character. So
just like Infamous, kind of not.
Sort of, but a little bit, yeah.
Not really.
I kind of thought Ashley, I'd mistaken Ashley for Miranda, because guess what? They have the same facial structure, the same cans, the same brunette. And that's when I realized that women, that's all you are to us, is hair color, boobs, and facial structure.
The thing is, in the game, in the Star Trek online role-playing game, that's true. There's like one face that all the women have.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if you're a Klingon or Orion or a human. Or
you all look alike.
Beta, they all have the same face and the same hair.
Because the video games are a piece of perfection, and that's what we really want the world to be, is we would like to be cookie cutters for all of our women. Girls.
Fair enough.
Enjoy that with your ice cream.
I think that's true.
Not really who I am. And anyway. So anyway.
Gamers are not invited to this new version of our show.
Not in Gamerland. No girls allowed.
Not true. Actually, please, more girls.
Please,
please, more girls.
We don't want a sausage fest. We need someone to explain the emotional needs of these people.
If you're a guy, stop listening. Just turn it off.
If we did that?
We are only talking to women.
That'd be so great if we were single guys trying to use a podcast to get laid. Oh, that'd be so funny.
I'm sure they're... give me 2 seconds and a Google. I'll find you that podcast.
So then there was a glitch in one of the other missions, and then I go, I'll reload the last autosave to go back to the beginning of this mission. I'm like, I nailed this. I had to go back to the very, very beginning, and at first I was like, oh, and then I was like, oh, now I know. But now I get to go back. I get to go back, much like a Braid situation. I hit rewind.
Nice.
Did not kiss the blue chick. Mm. Moved in for Ashley. That's what I did. And she kissed me back. She knew how to kiss me the way I wanted to be kissed.
I'm sorry. At what point did you turn this science fiction game into a soap opera? It's like you're playing The Sims, Holmes. What's going on over there?
They weren't speaking gibberish, you know what I'm saying? Except they kind of were with their lips.
They're aliens. All right. It's just funny that at the end of the day, you're not sitting there going, man, I love being able to build my own weapons or choose my own mission or choose the morality of it. I'm going to kill this guy. You're like, which of these two digital fake chicks am I going to digitally fake bang?
Right. Well, it's funny the way Mass Effect does this is that they present you all of these options at the exact same time. So literally, you're like, I'm saving the planet Earth. I'm negotiating like galactic-wide peace treaties and crap. And then it's like, now you must choose between one of these three women that you will make your personal concubine. So the first one who kind of throws herself at me is the reporter. And I threw it back out at her. I said, all right, I'm on board. Sure.
Really?
And then she goes, so then it's like, it's about to happen. She's already in my room. Like, it's on like Donkey Kong without the barrels.
Confused.
There is a hammer and a lot of jumping.
Oh, I see. Might need pictures. Don't post any pictures.
I was really proud of that. So anyway, it really makes me laugh. So I had to go to her and she goes, now you sure? Because if word got out that you and I were an item, this takes away all credibility of, you know, what I got going on. And in a moment, Kevin, I made what I would really like, the decision I, Justin Worsham, would make, and not just, you know, Commander Shepard.
Yeah.
I made what I would make, you know, we're trying to save the galaxy right now from the Reapers. We can't mess around. It's not time for, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You can't be going after that.
Yeah.
So I said, you know what? Maybe now's not the best time. And she's like, all right, good call. And then I moved in for the kill with the brunette.
Nice. Well done.
Yeah. So that's what I've been playing. How about you, my friend?
You should watch these things. They're Spanish soap operas.
Uh-huh.
They're pretty much all that, with none of the galactic garbage in your way. You don't have to worry about any of that.
You know, I would really... Here's the thing.
Also, paper dolls. Those are good for what you're describing.
How dare you?
Barbies do this. Most Korean dramas.
I would enjoy a good telenovela, because if you tune into a Spanish-speaking station, those ladies are pretty easy on the eyes, but you can't understand what they're saying. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not.
They have
it's
subtitles.
Just a lot of trampoline jumping and crying.
That's the news.
Huh?
That's their news. I am playing this new game called Arkham Asylum. I got on this giant...
That's why you kept doing that bit. That's
well, we got on this weird... Not we. I got on this huge Batman kick this past week where I was... Like, everything Batman. I was reading my Batman comic books. We watched The Dark Knight Rises and then went back and watched Batman Begins. We watched all the College Humor Batman videos. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, well, I got to play some Batman. So naturally, I went to DC Universe Online.
Of course.
Played that for a minute. And remembered how terrible it was. And then while it was downloading, which it took forever. No, that's not fair. It's pretty decent. It's just, it's not, what is
it's
it?
It's a really decent licensed game. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I realize I got to stop being glib about developers, because the truth is that they were on the show, I'd just kiss their butts all day long and tell them how great I love their game. So I love your game. please join our show.
Right.
But it's, I mean, I play a lot of MMORPGs, so playing one on the console, I guess, is kind of hard. More on this later. I got to rethink this. I got to have a moral strategy all of right. how I can have critical opinions about games, but still invite the creators to talk about it.
I think that's they understand.
I just need to not be a jerk about it. That's all.
You're not being a jerk right now.
I said rude things.
Listen, we called these SOE people and they blew us off.
That's
true. They said they were going to be on the show and they blew us off.
So yeah, screw you and your game.
Yeah.
But so while that was taking forever to download, I was excited because they had a couple new. Format, a couple of new character races that you could build. There's a new Earth one based on Terra. There was a new Lightning one or something else. They look pretty good. So while I was downloading, I was like, oh, I have that other game. Oh, yeah, Arkham Asylum. I also have Arkham City that you and
much better game.
Yes, they are. You and your son gave me for Christmas that is still in the shrink wrap because
what is
I
that
haven't.
Game?
Arkham City.
Oh.
The sequel?
The sequel to it.
Yeah, yeah. There's another Arkham game coming out. Pop that in. I also downloaded Injustice. This was like in the same day. I downloaded the demo. I was like, I must play DC Universe games. And I don't know if you've ever played this Arkham Asylum, but it's pretty groundbreaking.
Tell the story about how when you thought it broke.
Okay. So
Kevin didn't want we talked about this offline. Kevin didn't want to share this because he feels like it's a 10-year-old story.
Yeah.
But I think people who have played through this game will remember and kind of laugh at it.
Yeah, well that's the thing. Like I'm excited to dig in deeper. Now here's the thing. I played this game essentially in two parts. Like I played up to I played pretty far. Like I got down. Like Bane was a long time ago. Oh, I was just going to find Ivy for the first time before all the island gets taken.
It's like
over.
You're asking me about my sixth grade history.
Okay, so halfway through the game, I got about halfway done and then stopped, and I picked up again, and now I'm sweeping through. So now I'm going in. I'm gonna go find Scarecrow. This is the thing down there. I'm gonna go find Killer Croc's thing, and then he coughs. And they've been saying it for a while that, you know, this has a psychotropic ability. Something bad can happen. And the camera, like, spins. I watch him cough. And then the game, like, breaks. It was awesome. And it was something like Andy Kaufman would do. And the game, like, and then there's music playing and everything. And then the screen goes black. And I actually say out loud, I think the game just froze. I really hope I didn't lose my save. And I'm thinking, there's got to be a way. And then suddenly it boots up to the beginning of the game. I was so so mad that the moment that it was clear that it was a dream that I fell for it. I was like, man, and no one ever spoiled that for me. It's so rare to get a surprise
right?
like that. It was pretty spectacular. And then I was like, my respect for the game re-jumped back up to the because it was starting to get kind of repetitive. I'm like, yes, I'm beating up a crowd of guys. Yes, I'm hiding for gargoyles. I'm getting
If it wasn't for that fight animation, that part would be like, ugh.
Yeah. Like, okay, I've done it. I'm tired of doing it. And I get it because it's like a five-year-old game. They were really stretching their budget. I expect in the next game there's a lot of different varied gameplays and different things that you can do. Maybe in the third game. So it was great to
Arkham Origin.
I didn't want to share it, but now you know how behind the scenes I am. I'm now going after when I'm done with this play a little game called Mega Man 2. It's all in Japanese. I can't wait to find out more about it.
Prepare to be disappointed. You're gonna need a Rosetta Rock boulder before you dip into that.
Let's go to the sandbox.
Oh, made a castle. Step on it.
Ah, my castle. So, in the sandbox, I want to discuss hard games because you brought up some really good points about Abe's
Top
Odyssey
World.
Earlier, and how. Yeah, like, I was reading, have we discussed the cycle of hard games and that sort of thing on here before?
No, I don't think so. If we do, then I don't remember. I know we've mentioned, like, Battletoads, and it may have, like, kind of come up
in
that conversation.
Okay, so I believe, from the research I've been doing, I won't name sources, because I can't remember that. But I read a really interesting article that talked about the repetitive cycle of games in general, and it makes sense, because, like, you look at what games are popular now, what's having a resurgence, the games are really popular when we were first playing games. So there's like this generation of games like Meat Boy that are coming out, and that's a few years old, but I think the reason why it was, he even said it in the Indie Gamer thing, is that those were the games that he was playing when he was an impressionable gamer, these incredibly hard games. So games like Oddworld like beat you up, and then suddenly you see that, you know, and then somebody realized that you shouldn't make a game difficult, and they started making games a little more passable. And then later there are these group of people like, I loved sweating and crying over a game, I'm gonna build a hard game as a result.
Because there is that element now where you feel like, even in Mass Effect, there are elements where you're just kind of playing through a story with a little bit of resistance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you get to choose where you're going in the story and all that stuff. But it's not like, it's not impossible. Whereas, like, I have literally spent 3 weeks and have not made it through, like, 3 or 4 levels of Oddworld.
And see, this is the thing, and I have to be honest, it's a little hard for me to admit because I definitely, I wear a label that says I'm a gamer, like I'm a gamer. So this is hard for me to say, is that the truth is I find the game part of a game tedious. I find a hard game super tedious. I enjoy the interactive story elements of the game, and if you've been listening to the show for any length of time, you'll know that I'm a big advocate of narrative and in games and being this open source, create your own kind of universe. I enjoy simulator games. I enjoy games where I get to create or move forward or decide the path or those sort of things. But games like Arkham Asylum, there are elements where I'm like, man, I just just let me get past this boss fight. Like, I just want to be done with this because I want to see the next scene. Mm-hmm. And I have to admit that doesn't give me as much gamer cred mm-hmm. to people who actually enjoy the game side of the game of, like, I want to play this thing. Like, I want to figure out what it takes to beat this thing. I want to read about, like, the folks that can play these MMORPGs or RTSs like StarCraft that are like, no, I want to know at the exact second that I need which power-up at which point, because those are like professional football players except for they're playing a video game. Like, I want to know what it takes. That's the hard gaming. And I'm like, I want a colorful interactive coloring book.
I want to go to preschool again.
I play Skylanders.
Yeah.
Did I mention that I own all of them?
Yeah, a few times.
Okay. Somebody needs to be impressed with
probably,
that.
Probably, let's see, what I messed up my own bit. I was going to say one more than what you needed to.
Yeah.
But that was not. It's not true. What I wanted to say was one is enough, and then after that was too
more
much.
More than I did.
Yeah.
I just need someone to be impressed with the fact that, like, even your son doesn't care. People, are, I've had one boy once.
I would venture. Oh, okay, good.
He is
the one.
I said,
he
I
is
told,
your Neo.
I told him, I have every Skylander, and these two kids, these brothers go, oh, you're so lucky. And I was like, I get. It's funny. I forgot that, like, kids think
Kevin,
in those terms.
My son treats your Skylander collection in the sense of a library.
Yeah.
So, like, mm-hmm. what he said is he's back into Skylanders.
Yeah, we got to play.
So we're gonna play, and we were hanging out, and then he goes, Dad, I think I need some more Skylanders. And I said, well, here's the deal. I said that you could get one of each, like, little element mm-hmm. thing or whatever. I said, so you could pick one of each because that's all you really ultimately need to experience
makes the game,
the game you know. Mm-hmm. And so, and then he goes, well, maybe if I need more, I could just borrow them from Kevin. Like, like, I go, well, that's a conversation for you and Kevin to have, but I think that you need to understand
he can
that these are very
out.
Precious to Kevin yeah. and that it's not something that he just checks out like a library book is what
and
I
he
told
didn't
him.
Understand. I had another kid tell his mother that I was going to give them to him when I was done with them.
Wow.
She comes in and goes, yeah, he keeps saying that you're going to give them to him when you're done with them so that he can have them all.
I said, silly boy.
I've never said that. That has
never
happened.
From my mouth. Yeah. I always wonder if those kids think that if that's what they hear. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah,
or
yeah.
if there's something about, like, that, you know, they don't know how to talk. They're
yeah. Skylanders is not a hard game.
No.
This is my point.
Here's my point, though, too, is I think your solid examples are, like, StarCraft and the MMORPG world.
Yeah, yeah.
Where those are, like, gameplay people.
Yeah.
But that Batman, I don't think you're being fair to yourself, because I think that there are a lot of people who would feel the same way that we're playing through the game of the Arkham City and the Arkham Asylums. We're playing through those because we love Batman and we like the story. And they made a solid cinematic experience, and we
That's
get to
true.
See the arc of it's, things happening.
Yeah, it's not cinematic. Like, that's not the. I'm not to correct
you.
You
think that game is cinematic in style?
No,
I really think it
only
is.
Because you look at what a Batman cinema film looks like, and you've got Tim Burton's Batman or the new ones with Nolan. Ryan, what's the dude's name? Whatever.
You're right. Chris Nolan.
Like, that's – like, I even watch him like –
Nolan Ryan is doing the next trilogy. That's he's coming out of baseball. And he's,
what?
He's pitching movies like there's no tomorrow. Boom, that's a sports joke on
that's
a video
impressive.
Game podcast.
Don't,
that's what I bring to the table.
To the name.
1990 game. Sports figures for $100.
We do discuss sports games.
Yeah.
No, but the like you look at what the Joker has looked like in movies, like a cinema. He doesn't. That's not the
because they're not
Arkham Asylum is not the film version of Joker. It's not an animation version of Joker. It's a comic book version. And I don't mean to downplay your point about it being cinematic. It is cinematic.
But don't you think that they don't look like that because in the television versions or television dumbass
yeah the film
versions that they there's only so much they could do if they just decided to do it CG I think that that's the choices they would make.
I don't think so. I think they're a little more fan. I think it's because you look at the Scarecrow and it's a very stylistic animated version of Scarecrow. His mouth is all stitched and it opens and closes. He has this giant inhuman
sized
mouth.
Yeah, it feels like
mouth.
A comic book, which I think comic books
saying.
Are kind of cinematic styled books.
See, that's why I'm saying that I would call it it's a comic book. It's
oh,
an
I
interactive
see.
Comic book.
That it's
book.
Its own style.
Yeah, it's not
so
not
I'm saying cinematic as a layperson.
Right. Yeah, okay. Because that's what I enjoy about the Joker is that, I mean, he's
yeah, nobody
dark.
Can have a face like that.
Right.
Yeah.
He is dark. He is twisted. He is not a children's cartoon Joker, mm-hmm. which we've seen. Like, Batman's on Fox Kids and everything, and he's a more watered-down version of Joker. But he's not like, what's his bucket in Dark Knight. Like, it doesn't look like that, and we're not meant to think, like, this is something that could walk into my room right now. Yeah. But so it's somewhere between those two, and that's why I'm like, this is the truest property to a comic book I've ever experienced, where it's like, it's comic booky, but still
I wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
That's Hard Games in the Sandbox. Where do we go next? Segments are hard. How are we doing on time?
20 minutes to go, my friend.
Oh, good. Oh, this is so much nicer. Why did we ever stop doing an hour?
I don't know.
It's so much nicer. I feel like we have so much more room to breathe.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's nice. The news feed.
I really hope we keep all these.
I know, right? We're just going to Ricky Gervais this thing.
Please don't.
That's all of his jingles.
Maybe next week.
Newsfeed.
Yeah. That's how he does.
It's ridiculous. Do you have any news for us?
I can find some real quick.
It's going well. All that pre-production.
I have
half a logo.
I was doing a lot of chatting on setting up a website.
Yeah, and I have half a
logo. Well, here's some unintentional news that I accidentally stumbled upon, and we kind of talked about it earlier, is that, so I don't know what I was looking for through Amazon, but it made a suggestion that I get Arkham Origins, which is, making a prequel, assuming of the title, but there's no images, nothing that, other than that you could pre-order it, and it's supposed to come out in October later this year.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Which I was like, that is awesome. I'm very stoked at that.
Why do games come out so far away? Why?
What do you mean?
Why do I have to wait six
so
months?
Far in between each game?
I know why. Yeah, I don't want to talk out of both sides of my mouth because we've talked about it.
You know why, but you're like, man, I'm so excited to play this.
I just feel like, yeah, I mean, it kind of goes back to my what I said before of like, wouldn't it be so much great? Like the Arkham series mm-hmm. is a really great example of how I think games would really do well if I can have a new chapter in that game. Because I can't play, like, clearly I took 6 months off mm-hmm. after playing half the game, and because I had other things to play. But if I could play a chapter where I fight Mr. Freeze for 4 hours worth of gameplay and pay my $2 or whatever, man, I would love that.
Yeah.
And then come back 2 months later and be like, oh, great, the new issue of Arkham is out, and I get to face off against the Riddler, finally. That would be great. But it's not like that.
Yeah, and you're right, and that because
October
for me, Assassin's Creed. I mean, they're kind of doing it where they. It seems like they have like a 7 month release between the two games.
Which ones?
Assassin's Creed 3, and now this the pirate one that they're coming out. Yar. I think it's called Black Flag or something.
I think it's called Yar.
Yar, okay.
Yeah, yeah. You're Assassin's Creed Yar.
Yar are probably right.
Yar,
Yar are probably right. Cooperoni.
But yeah, because that was one of my it's not an issue. It's not a fair issue. Is that one of my frustrations with the Assassin's Creed games is that they have these deep storylines, and it's almost like trying to watch like if you get caught up on Breaking Bad. The person who is now starting to watch Breaking Bad gets a far more enjoyable viewing experience.
Yeah.
Or even Dexter is another solid example.
Or Lost
than
was.
Someone who's been, yes, Lost is a great example.
I have a friend
example.
That just watched Lost, like in the space of 2 months.
Oh, that's a great example.
She was able to just sit down and watch 3 or 4 episodes a night.
And just go and just go and go and go and go.
And then had it all, like, really understood the show in a much better way than you and I did, even though I watched the first 2 seasons in one fell swoop.
Right.
By the end, I was like, okay, I remember that from 4 years ago.
Yeah, remember when you go, previously on Lost,
like,
and then you'd be more
one.
Confused?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wait, did that happen? When did that happen? Oh, my gosh.
Is that another show? I'm pretty sure that was scenes
from Alias.
Did
I miss
Alias.
A week in between? Yeah. Oh.
Downside of watching that show on DVD was because they had multiple storylines. You'd finish an episode and be like, I'm going to watch the next episode because I want to see where that cliffhanger was. And then you'd pick up with another storyline. And at the end of that, you're like, and now I want to know what happens to that one. And then before you know it, it was 5 a.m. You needed to go to bed.
You're like, holy crap. I did that
I'm
a little
really
bit.
Lost.
So, yeah, there's that element that would be nice if it was like that where you could. But, it, I mean, clearly, I mean, we've already said it 3 times now that we understand why it has to. There's hundreds of thousands of man hours even that go into some of these games. And then there's games that they kind of think are going to be good, so you can't automatic. It's not like a movie. Like a movie, if when they made The Avengers, a lot of the people signed three-picture deals because they're like, we have a fair to middling chance that this is going to be a humongous blockbuster hit of a movie, and we know that people are going to come out and see it.
And they had the precedent set of franchise-based, so it didn't matter.
And Iron Man was doing well and all that stuff.
Yeah, it didn't matter that it was three Iron Man movies. Yeah. It was a three-picture deal within that. So it was like, we are going to put this character in three films.
Exactly.
And it just so happened the last one shared. What other movie... Like to watch a bunch of different movies and then watch them all cross together. Like, what if what's his bucket that used to hold the Titanic, James Cameron? What if all of his movies did a big crossover,
like Avatar and Titanic and Terminator?
Yeah, exactly. And Abyss. And it turns out all of those movies were all set up for one big mega movie.
Oh boy! Listen,
hit stop. We got to write this out.
I reached for it. I was like what for?
All right, let's scene
he was
one.
Counting down.
Three.
What's
two.
Happening?
We're writing an epic movie for James Cameron.
Yeah, so I mean
Piranha 2, Spawning.
Oh, they don't that's a great movie. They don't. Yeah, there's no way for them to really know or anticipate it, and
But I think like to continue to push this model that no one is ever going to do, you could also do a pilot. That's how TV shows are done. You do six episodes, so that could be a small game, a small DLC that's all of these episodes all packaged into one.
What did Kaylee say? Wasn't it him that was talking about? There's a reason. Like when they pitched him this idea.
They had substantial reasons why it didn't work out economically on their end of things. Which I still think are valid, but you could...
And Matt's point, if I'm not mistaken, was a really solid one, where he's like, if you work on a game, like, say you work on a game that has 10 to 12 hours of gameplay, and that's a couple years, for you to continue to do that level of investment, again, year after year after year, you're going to have a higher rate of turnaround at that company, because people are going to just get tired of putting in algorithms for a raccoon tail kind of
vibe. I think that's just the state of that's change and people resisting change.
Oh really?
Not to fight Matt, and clearly he knows the industry more than I do, but like
he's built games multiple,
and I haven't, but the truth is, like, ask the guys that edit Jeopardy. I knew some of those dudes. Like, they walk in, they are human robots. They walk in. Beep, 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 beep. I mean, well, everything's the same.
And that's, I think, though, because here's what I think was kind of his point, was that he's saying that there's such a creative passion and drive when you make games because of the hours you have to put in, that if it became mechanical, it would lose its fervor.
And see, what I'm suggesting is you get the gameplay gets out of the way because the engine is built, and then you get to...
So you're saying it's more of a streamlined process.
And I think you get to see more creative things as a result because all the mechanics are done. So you're like, what can we do with these things? Look at homestarrunner.com, right?
Okay.
So they make these little... They used to make these little web videos.
Well, let me type it in so I can look.
And you could see that once they had a lot of the animation assets in place, it freed them up to write really funny stuff because they weren't worried about having to create it
instead of moving it.
And then if they need it, they're like, okay, we want to build a new set. That's just one scene that they have to create because everything's built in Flash.
You bring up a solid point, Kevin. I really do. Thanks. I really do. And that here's the thing that will bring us back to the news feed is that there is a fantastic article that how the video games industry is faring, because it might lead into more economical issues, is that most of the headlines that I was just kind of skimming through seem to report that Xbox 360 sales are tanking, Xbox 360 is leading in console sales, and that the Wii U is still tanking, like it's still failing miserably. But it says companies...
I think that's games library. Does it say that?
No.
Because I look at the Wii U and I'm like, you've got two games, I think.
Right, that are playable for your thing.
I think you have Wii U Land.
There's always this vibe about Nintendo that I feel like they know something that we don't. Because they just kind of do
Japanese
something.
Japanese people will buy their games.
Yeah. Maybe.
That's what they know.
Because they kind of do something and people are like, what are you doing? And then the next thing you know, it's 5 years later and it's like, that's just fun. This is what we should be doing.
This is the best thing.
But it says companies in the video game industry have begun releasing releasing earnings reports for the latest quarter. Here's a look at selected companies that make or sell video games or machines. April 3rd, mobile game developer Rovio Entertainment Limited says the popular Angry Birds franchise helped it double revenue in 2012 to 152 million euros or $195 million. Net income surged more than 55% to 55.5 million euros or $71.2 million. Thursday, Microsoft Corp. says revenue from its Xbox 360 business grew $641 million, or 55%. And that's higher revenue from its Xbox Live service and the recognition of $380 million in deferred video game revenue. Revenue is deferred when the video games are sold with software upgrades and enhancements. Like other video game companies, Microsoft spreads that out over time while the game is played, rather than all at once. So I think what that's talking about is DLC.
Yeah.
Like additional missions and all that stuff. So
like killing Ewoks.
It looks like everything is doing well, but I'll go back and see if I can't. It says no rebound in sight for this Wii U. The Wii U has been one of the least successful product launches in Nintendo's history so far.
No, the VR boy was pretty shitty. Pardon my French.
No,
but
it's all right. So far. And Wed Bush analyst Michael Pachter believes that there's very little hope sales of the console will pick up anytime soon. Hmm. Per Benzinga, Pachter says that only 55,000 Wii U consoles were sold domestically in March, which is down from the 66,000 Nintendo sold in February and the 57,000 that it sold in January.
Now, I wonder what Skylanders 3 is going to what they're going to release on, because it's in HD. It's the first game, and the Wii is not in HD.
Yikes.
So I wonder.
But the newer Wiis are HD. They're HD compatible, because I know HD there's a Wii U that has a new HDMI cable, but like I know what you're saying, that
they're not native.
Library is not made at that resolution.
So I mean, that would, oh gosh, could you imagine being a parent? And you're like, okay, this new Skylander, it's available on your Xbox 360 or your PS3, but it's only available on the Wii U.
Well, I'll shoot straight with you. My mom bought Skylanders on the Wii for Jacob for Christmas, and he played it. And it's a weird thing that was kind of funky is that she has a Wii, so that's why she bought it on the Wii, because he could play it while he was there and then also bring it home. I went on eBay, bought the Skylanders game solo for the PS3 because it is easier for Jacob to play on the PlayStation controller than it is to use that nunchuck attachment on the Wii controller itself. And it's like, I felt bad.
I've never understood that. Maybe it would be great to get somebody from Nintendo to, or just an advocate of Nintendo to talk about using that nunchuck controller with the old school AB.
And it would have to be somebody who could just say beyond, I prefer it.
Like why it's better.
Here's why it makes sense.
Because it's, you know, and I've played games with the Wii as well. Like I love Mario Galaxy. It had me so close to getting a Wii just to play Mario Galaxy because it's such a clever and interesting and dynamic game. But my wrist hurt through playing it, trying to aim that thing at the, and I was like, I couldn't, and I wanted to. I was like, how can I make it so this doesn't
it's
hurt?
An articulation you're not used to.
Yeah, and so, and eventually, by the end, I was like, no, it's hurting more. There's nothing I can do to not make it hurt. I'm not going to get this game because it's going to hurt me.
Yeah. I was just glancing ahead at the article, and you were absolutely correct. What's more, Pachter doesn't think there's much Nintendo can do to boost sales in the future, as the Wii U's fortunes appear unlikely to improve for several months, even if Nintendo decides to drop the price, as there are an insufficient number of core titles that are generating interest in the console.
Yeah.
In other words, it's not even clear at this point that issuing a PS Vita-style price cut can spark interest in the Wii U until the game selection for the console significantly improves.
What's the PS Vita now?
I don't know.
What does that mean? How much over did I pay for it? I wouldn't exchange it. I wouldn't give it.
Oh,
back.
Yeah, no, I think you that's the hard part about that. You can't get wrapped up in that stuff. Like
I wouldn't take I was there launch night.
$250. That can't be.
No, that's what it was before. That's right. $250 is what it was for the non 3G version. At launch, it was three for with.
That's
3G.
What it's selling for right now on Amazon. With, it's $249. The Wi-Fi version, the 3G version is $252.99.
Oh, okay, so yeah, they dropped it. They dropped it $50.
Oh, okay.
Heaven forbid.
Oh, so it was $399. It was $299 if you wanted the 3G version,
which is what I got.
Yeah, and I think that's because like the people I was talking to at GameStop, they were telling me things like, you know,
you have to bleep that out.
Why?
Boop.
Why do I have to bleep that out?
Because they won't be on the show.
That's a good point. Is that they said that, well, if you get the 3G version, you can, that it, like, it's not like you can play online with people for 3G, which you told me was wrong. And then they said, so you'd need a Wi-Fi to do that. And they asked, what would I be getting it for? Like, why would I, what do I want to get
online access?
So interesting,
they downselled you. They do that over there.
Yeah, well,
they're pretty legit with.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I feel like they're pretty, like, we're going to give you what you want. And it's a smart business choice on their part.
Yeah.
Because if you're known as the video game company that upsells you, then it's like, well, I'll just stay away from there.
Yeah, it has to be the place.
That might as well drive people to online.
I feel like every time I've gone to GameStop, it's the safe place for gamers. Like, I go in and they're like, well, this is what you really want. Or this is the game that, because games are expensive enough. And even their games, they're not cheap. Like, used games is like $6 off, but they'll buy it from you for $6.
Like, hey, wait a minute.
I should sell this on eBay.
How did I end up buying four games for the price of one? Or the price of eight. That's what I meant to say.
Math is hard.
We gotta move. Yeah, we gotta move on. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go behind the controller.
Oh, snap-a-doodle-doo.
Tonight, on tonight's episode, today's episode, this episode of... Gamerland. We don't have anybody in Gamerland with us, but I have something I wanted to bring up that I thought was very interesting from our friends at Game Minder, Game.Minder. Are you familiar with this app?
Nope.
Okay, so I love this app. I've mentioned it before. It's available on the Droid. It's available on the
Apple. Oh, I remember. It tells you release dates and it sends you a little notification.
It's pretty great. You type in a game. You can choose a platform. It has reviews. It has release information. And then it supposedly updates that as new stuff comes out. So when I went to E3 or if you read about stuff at GDC or whatever, you just type in the name and then you can track it. So as stuff shows up, you don't have to go searching for information. Like,
it's your own video game wish list.
So unless you go, like, if you go to GameStop every week or read gamer magazines, you're probably going to be up on release dates and stuff. But even then, that's a little hard to keep track. And you may forget about a game that you were interested in, and then suddenly the title has changed all that stuff. So this helps you track all that stuff.
Is it a free app or no?
It is a free app.
Wow.
So, which is part of their problem. So they said this. I thought it was so funny. Not funny, but just interesting. When people break the fourth wall, they sent out this. I think they may have like a podcast as well, because their photo from their blog kind of looks like a podcast talky people. But they Game.Minder report was their 42nd email that they've sent out for as long as they've been doing. I guess it's like a newsletter. And I'll just read this first part here. He says, first off, allow me to set up the irony. This morning we launched Game.Minder for Iuya. Getting this version of Game.Minder out the door, it was fun and challenging. If you're just learning about Game.Minder for the Ouya world, welcome. I don't know what Ouya, that's another format for.
That makes me laugh.
He just goes on and on and on and on. This is not the same email that I read, but what I read from Game.Minder is that they had, they said, if you've noticed since the new year, our information has dried up, that because we can no longer afford to pay somebody to manage the up to date information about each of the different games.
Yeah, I thought it was like a Wikipedia thing. That's because in my mind I'm like, well, how do they do that?
Right, and that's what he kind of described. Is like, I really believe in this, and I think that this is a little better. This is the one I want. So he says, as a member, you've probably known that our stated goal of Game.Minder is to track every upcoming video game so that gamers don't forget to play the next great game that they are waiting for. It was a good way to keep up on the handle of AAA titles like Bioshock Infinite, whose ship date kept slipping, but it was also a tool for grabbing info on that little indie game that wasn't going to ship until it's done, in quotes, and wouldn't be a marketing budget to compete with other big games. Which makes sense. But it didn't work out, is pretty much what he goes on to say.
But bum, bum, bum.
So Handelabra, which is the name of their company, and therefore Game.Minder, is almost out of money. We use quite a bit of the rebuilding, quite a bit of our money rebuilding the original Game.Minder system into what it is today, the system that launched in December. The system has in place the scaffolding and handle of a lot of what he talks about before, which is this three-part system of social media and users and Wikipedia. and marketing people from the actual publishers. But we simply don't have the cash or resources to realize the full dream, and I've been incapable of drumming up enough investment for the interest. And then he goes on to say, here's how you can help, and here's what I need from people, and go to crowdfunding.com and give us money, 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 money. And it's so interesting to me that, you know, I think we've talked a little bit about crowdfunding and Kickstarter and that sort of thing of like, when push comes to shove, we go back to Kickstarter. this isn't working, so I need other people to fund this for me.
Yeah.
And yeah, gosh, I just feel bad for him because I certainly have enjoyed the app, and I don't know what's gone into it. I don't know what the system that they built into it, but it seems to me that it could have been done a lot easier had it been mostly open source to yep. begin with and Wikipedia based, as opposed to this
one person trying to manage everything,
trying to control it all yeah. and put it through a pipeline. Just let it be editable. And the thing is, I've submitted reports before, and then they like pushed back. I said, you know, the Siftio cubes were coming out. And so I said, here's a game and here's a thing. And this is a thing. And they were like, well, it doesn't really fit into our system. I'm like, well, why don't you just have a miscellaneous platform yeah. button?
Because like, that yeah. was my first question when you brought it up. I was like, does it have something for hardware or peripherals?
Yeah.
Or?
So that's the problem, is that it's too, there's too much. Like every mm-hmm. single platform has its own blah, blah, yeah. blah, 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 blah. And like, well, just don't do it by that. Do it by the title, and then make platform a checkable box that you can cross.
Like a
over.
Yelp or something like that. There, where there's you, right. it takes so many hits for something to actually take effect. You know, where if eight people submit the same kind of information, then yeah. you go boom. Or you could even build into it to go, okay, we've had eight people submit, and this is what each of them has said.
Right,
you know, kind of.
And
thing.
That would make sense. And clearly, he has a, you know, he's further down the track than I am. Yeah. I don't mean to tell him from a distance what he should have done with it.
Backseat app him.
But it seems like that it could have been a lot easier, and that it could have blown up much like Instagram, which is what he goes on to say. Like, I thought our story was going to be like the next Facebook story mm-hmm. or the next Instagram story, where we found a new way for gamers to socially interact, mm-hmm. but it just isn't coming together. Please give us money. And I hope it does, because I've used the tool, and I would put up with ads. I would pay 99 cents for the app. They haven't asked for any of my money yeah. since I put it
I
in there.
I think to me, I feel like that's step one. I mean, I know that they've already generated so many apps, but I think that step one is you just start charging 99 cents for it.
And then you're good to go.
And then I think you'll start seeing some revenue come in. And
you'll be able to pay that guy. Yeah.
That's what my 2 cents is.
Yeah. Or 99 cents.
Ba-boom.
Because it's super helpful
yeah.
to be able to have your reminders.
Because right now, all I have is I use my Amazon wish list. Like, that's how I,
and that
if
changes.
I find a game, and then I update it, and then I go, okay, now it's time to buy a game for yeah. Justin. Let's look at what my Amazon wish list says.
Yeah.
But it's not up to date. It's only up to date as often as I update it.
Right.
When I see a game like an
Amazon
advertisement for the new Assassin's Creed, I'm like, definitely going to want to get that.
Yeah.
I click on it, and then I always check the, hey, if you like that, you should also look at that, and kind of scroll through and go, oh, that looks interesting. That's the only reason I would have known about Last of Us,
right.
like, you know, and all those games.
And Amazon is trying to break into that market where it's saying, like, do you want notification when this game becomes available, mm-hmm. when we get more information about it? It felt like these guys were going to try to do that for us. Which made it a lot easier. The
yeah,
other pushback
right
that
phone.
I got, it would be so great. And then I could buy it. They also get a little bit of money for buying stuff in store from them, which is like, why is that how you're making money? That
yeah.
seems like we know, clicking on Amazon links, we got, what, $6 when
yeah.
we did that? So the other, I got a pushback when I was like, I'm pretty sure, wouldn't this game be, they had some terminology of like in stores or available and stuff. I'm like, it's not available. It's like, well, it's in stores or some, the vice versa of that. I'm like, you can't buy this game yet. So good luck to him, game.minder. Good luck. We don't have much time, right?
We do not. I mean, we could spend some quick times. There's a couple of emails.
Let's read one email.
Let's
close it out with an email.
All right.
Let's go to the inbox.
You've got mail. Hey, guys. Did you hear about the Ratchet & Clank movie coming out in 2015?
No. Have a great week.
Does that mean a Sly Cooper movie could be possible? I sure hope so.
I did not hear about
this. I don't
this.
Know. Yeah,
please
I don't
know. Go to I Want Sly Cooper's Own Animated Series on Facebook.
Well, we have
mentioned that.
Here's the thing. In fact, here, I'm going to hit pause real quick.
Oh, gosh. What's from?
All right, we're back. We'll do that other email next time.
I can't wait. That's going to be the greatest email of all time. Who wrote that email?
This comes to us from Cole.
Just wants to be known as Cole.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you know anything about a Ratchet and Clank
film? I did not. I'm going to do a little bit of a Googling.
I think a Ratchet and Clank film makes a lot of sense because they clearly watched Star Wars and were like, you know what would be cool is something that does an homage to 1920s Saturday morning serials, just like George Lucas did, and then made a video game based in that universe. And
it says right here, Ars Technica, big screen Lombax, CG animated Ratchet and Clank movie coming in 2015.
And it's CG, and it's big screen. That's fascinating. Good for them.
Yeah.
That's exciting. I mean, certainly there are a lot of those titles.
Oh, there's
out there.
A teaser even. Let's see if we can hear that.
April Fools.
From Rainmaker. If you just Google Ratchet and Clank movie, this will be the first thing that you guys will see.
So far, it's mostly logos.
Yeah. It's the opening to a game.
Space. A wondrous realm where heroes are forged. A place of peril and adventure and... I can't do this.
Okay, cut.
Sure you can, Quark. Just sound out the big words like you practiced.
It's not that. Look, our first feature film. And there's nothing here. Where's the eye-popping 3D? The CG explosion. Where's the dubstep?
Apologies, Captain. Everyone is out making the Ratchet and Clank movie.
And they can't spend a few more hours getting us a bit of pizzazz? How lazy are they?
Whoa, hold on. You don't want to anger such a talented team of animators.
Oh, please. What'll they do? Stop animating? Don't look.
Quark, there are kids here.
Oh, real mature guys.
So what you couldn't see is that there's a little pop-up window that comes up, and then they took away his skin to make him just like little lines connecting polygons and stuff.
That was pretty great.
Oh, and now they're making him disco dance.
That is funny.
Now he's Lord of the Dancing.
Perhaps you should just apologize.
Fine. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Sheesh. Oh, that's Whoa. More like it. Now, how about one of those epic logos? That's the stuff. See, when two adversaries set aside their petty squabbles, they can...
The logo fell on him.
Never mess with the animators.
Nice.
Coming to theaters 2015. So, there you go. So, does that mean that Sly Cooper is going to get his own feature?
I got to make a phone call. This is pretty exciting. That's pretty great. I got to look up that. Thanks for the lead.
Yeah, that's...
Find the folks that are putting that together and make that happen.
That's outstanding. Because I've been playing the games, and I here's the what started my love is that All for One that we played at your party or whatever. And yeah. I was like, this is really funny. It's cool characters. And so, now I'm like, I think I'm halfway through the second one almost with my son. And he got distracted by Skylanders. So
well,
that's a game that I just play with him until they make a port on the Vita with the collector's edition. So let me know.
Skylanders?
Your game minder have that on there, or is it already
of what?
Too late?
What are we talking about?
About the Sly Cooper, the Ratchet and Clank collector's edition being available on the Vita,
That
not
would be
just
good.
On the PS3.
It would be good. I would like it if All for One was available on the Vita. Like,
oh my gosh.
The reason why I bought it, because it says cross-buy on it, and yet it doesn't unlock, so...
Awkward.
I ain't going to see your movie in 2015.
Awkward.
Unless Sly is showing up in 2016. All right.
All right, there we go. First Gamerland episode in the books.
Oh, it was so great in Gamerland.
I know, right?
We need a new outro.
Really?
Nah.
Oh, okay. I thought this one still applies. We could go to this one. You like? Do you prefer this one? Is that what you like?
Just for this episode.
Just for this episode.
The inaugural half-launching.
Listen.
This is a soft launch.
It's done. It's done. Thanks for listening to our show. And guess what? You can send us an email to show@gamerlandpodcast.com. That's already there.
How long will Second Funniest Podcast be active?
The website?
Any of it.
Well, I don't know. We've at least got, I think, a year two before I have to pay for it again.
Because I'm never changing.
Okay.
I'm never going to like that new page.
You're never going to like that. Well, the Facebook doesn't cost me a dime, so I don't care.
Fair enough.
Don't forget, you can now, soon, join the conversation at facebook.com/someformofgamerlandpodcast, either with a hyphen or not.
Search for it.
Yeah, just search for
Hopefully it'll be active by the time this episode comes out.
You can already throw us a follow at GamerPods is our new Twitter handle. But the big thing that we will still continue to push that will come over is that go to facebook.com/IWantSlyCooper in his own animated series and throw a like on that so we can make it into an animated show, give you more of the show that you want. On behalf of my new co-host on our new show, Kevin Miller, this is the new Justin Worsham saying,
Ribbit,
Froggy, bye-bye, fry-bye, fry-bye. That can't be a thing. Okay, that can never happen. Okay, bye.